Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I want to know what y'all think about potentially handing Dak Prescott a 10-year, $350 million contract instead.
Hell no.
877-881-1053. Are you in on a 10-year, $350 million contract for Dak Prescott?
As long as it's guaranteed.
Okay, all right.
No!
I'll get to the reasons behind it in just a moment. But I did want to practice something with everybody. I wanted to go back and look at the Cowboys' biggest financial situations, who has the biggest contracts on this team. I wanted to ask you guys if you thought the player was worth it then, and if you thought the contract was worth it then, and if you still think that at this point that contract is worth it. All right, okay. So let's go back, and I'm going to start down. Leighton Vander Esch is at $11 million. That one's not going to work for me right now because it's still his rookie contract. So we'll go up to the Tyrone Crawford deal. 5 years, $45 million. He made $9 million a year. At the time, because this is the last year, that was the last year of his contract. Okay. At the time, what did you think, that was a good deal or a bad deal?
I thought it was a bad deal because I thought this was a perfect example of them falling in love with their own players and overpaying. And I think, unfortunately, it's played out exactly like that. He has underachieved on the field.
I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, that money, I agree. I think that he's a great leader. But, yeah, physically, he wasn't out on the field last year. He was the only guy, when he was on the field, that was beating the guy in front of him. And that was something that this team seriously missed. But I don't think that throughout the entire 5 years, I don't think we got that much of a worth. Okay, $50 million on a 5-year contract for Lyle Collins.
Hopefully that works out. That was year one last year.
Yeah. And, I mean, year one seemed to live up to the hype. And he could be it's tough to say for sure, and the other guys are still young enough, but he could be your veteran anchor for the next wave of offensive linemen. I mean, I know that's a good bit down the road, hopefully. But so far, I think it was good. I did not love the deal before when they gave him, what was it, like 2 for $19 or $18 or whatever. But this one, based off of how he played this last year, seems like it could be pretty solid.
All right.
Yeah, at the time, I was like, wait, we can afford to do this?
Because now you have four offensive linemen.
We can pay premium to four
plus
guys.
Yeah.
So I do think, though, so far, so great. He's done great on that contract.
Okay, all right. The go right above him at $56 million. That's $9.4 a year. Travis Frederick for a 6-year deal. That's a center that's getting paid big-time money.
I think he's an awesome person, and if healthy, he can be an awesome player, but we missed a whole year. It's just unfortunate, and then
that would have been impossible to figure out.
Right.
And last year, according to a lot of scouts and stuff, he was a below average center in the NFL. So I would say
below average. Wow.
Yeah. And so I think if you kind of talked to Jeff and brought us about it, they were kind of disappointed with what they got from Travis Frederick. Maybe average, but not close.
And you're not paying for average.
Not close to what Travis Frederick was. So far it's a bad deal, but that one's a tough one because of the disease that he got.
It's extenuating circumstances, I suppose, but I guess you'd have to say no then.
All right, so that's two now then. So Crawford and Frederick. Lyle Collins has been the only one. Gentlemen, I don't think it gets much easier from here on. Jalen Smith, 6 years, $68 million, $11 million a year.
I mean, that one looks like a loser, and the contract, not the player.
Wow.
The guy is great, but that so far it looks bad because I mean, he'd only had like one really top-notch season, and I know coming back from injury it was terribly impressive, but I don't think that was enough to give him that much of a contract, and it's so far not.
The Jones family loved the person and the story so much that they didn't want to actually evaluate the player, and that's why we have this contract. And, hey, good for Jalen Smith. He jumped on a deal that he jumped on a deal that was going to be very hard for him to get.
Some people are like, it's team friendly, not really.
No, not for the position and not for what he's doing. I think that he got a little bit extra because they considered him a leader, and DeMarcus Lawrence gave him a lot of responsibility as a leader this year, and I don't think he showed up for the role. With the money and the leadership that was required of him.
Or is it possible that he just had his own thoughts about what a
maybe
leader
so.
Is?
Yeah, maybe so. All right, this one I think we can all agree. Zach Martin, 6 years, $84 million.
He's the best player you have.
We're all good. Right, We're good there.
And Ezekiel
LP
Elliott.
The Deucer.
No, not LP. Ezekiel Elliott, $90 million on a six-year deal.
No.
That one's bad.
Ezekiel Elliott.
And it's bad because, and people get bent out of shape about this. I don't think anyone on our show is saying that Ezekiel Elliott is a bad player. I don't think you've ever heard that.
No.
But, like, he's a good running back that you're paying to be the best running back in the league. And that's problematic. He's like a fringe top five running back. And if you want to say he's a third best running back, okay, great. You're paying him to be the best running back. And he's just not.
For the most part, most of these contracts don't work out for running backs. And so it's nothing against other teams. Hey, the Rams made the Super Bowl, and they did it on Todd Gurley's first year of a big contract. That's a major mistake from the Rams. They now know it was a major mistake. And I think when we get a few years from now, we're going to look at who we're losing in free agency and go, wow, that was a major mistake, and it wasn't even time to pay him. I think the tough thing about Jalen Smith and Ezekiel Elliott, it wasn't even time.
Yes.
They jumped the gun because they were like, hey, we got to cut out our pie.
Especially when you look at, like, you know, whether it was Dez, whether it was DeMarco Murray, whether it's now Amari, whether it's Dak. There are plenty of times we take perfectly good players, and you're like, well, we'll see what happens maybe at the last second. Mm-hmm. And here we're all like, we'll go ahead and give you all the money now.
We're a year early on this one. Let's just do it.
I do wonder if how much of that may have had to do with the new CBA and the plan on trying to get it done earlier. And you know what? They're all going to want all the money if, you know, the salary cap goes up and all this. So let's go ahead and get them on these contracts now.
Do you think that these will be good contracts then? We all three. I think you did.
With Jalen?
What'd you vote on Ezekiel?
Zeke, no.
So you voted no on both of them. Do you think 2 years from now we'll vote yes, those were good contracts?
I think you might with Zeke. I think he's going to put in that effort. You're going to get in the playoffs a couple times. McCarthy's going to help that out a lot, though, because it's going to be a different model of team. Tyron Smith, 8 years, $97 million.
Yes, that's a good deal.
Yeah, I would be inclined.
When I look at other tackles, too, that's why I think he's very tradable, even though his back is going out on him. You can't really trust him for 16 games. You're really thinking more like 12 to 14 games in a season now with his body. Is when you look at other tackles in the NFL, that's a team-friendly deal. So, yes.
God, he's the one that's weird. $22 million guaranteed in that contract.
Tyron?
Yeah.
That was the Cowboy for Life deal that some people were like, the Cowboys are taking advantage. And some fans had a disconnect. They were like, hold on, taking advantage for $96 million?
DeMarcus Lawrence.
No.
Too much?
Yeah.
Five years, $105 million.
Look, the first year, I'm just going to throw it out there. I thought the first year of this deal was a disaster. It really was. He was at best an average, like, pass rusher, I think. And one of the reasons, and you can say it's because he got double teamed, he was elite at stopping the run, right on, man. I'm not here to deny any of that. But that's not what he got paid for. And he put extra pressure on himself when he was like, well, I'm not going to get the shoulder surgery until you give me the money. And that was the thing as a fan. And this is where I'm removing myself from like, oh, we're a professional or whatever. I'm just telling you as a straight up fan, I hate my team being held up like that by saying, well, I'm not going to get this necessary medical procedure to play again unless you pay me. I don't care for that just as a fan. So that's a no.
I'm going to say right now,
to be determined.
Okay.
I'm not going to be as strong on DeMarcus Lawrence because I thought he was pretty good last year. So I just disagree on that
okay.
one.
Okay.
It's
so,
okay.
So basically,
you can disagree.
No, you can't.
You're going to kick me off the show.
I already got kicked off of one show, Mike. We're going to keep you around.
So out of seven contracts that are $50 million or more, you guys say that three of them are good.
And I was looking at, you gave us 10 total, and we said four were good.
Yeah.
So that's below 50% either way.
So here we are, and here
that's
are the,
not good.
Here's the calculated values of current free agents, Kevin. $7 million for Randall Cobb. Is it worth it for you? Cowboys are probably going to do it.
Well, next week kind of starts the kind of fake signing period, and the week after is the real signing period.
Yeah.
I will say that if we get Randall Cobb and we get him on a three-year deal for $21 million with, let's say, $10 million guaranteed, I'll consider that a good deal.
All right.
Agreed.
Quinn is calculated 11.8.
Does it say for how many years or just gives you the average?
I don't have the years here.
Because that's the thing where the years might...
I think it's two-year contract.
Okay,
though.
Because the years might influence my thought about this. Because if it's two for 24 or 23.5, then I think I could get down with that. If for some reason they're giving that average value over 4 years, even if the guaranteed is lower, I might not super low.
Oh, I'm sorry, 3 years. Yeah, 3 years market value.
If a year and a half is guaranteed and that's all, I'm okay with
okay,
it. If we guarantee like two out of the 3 years, I'd get a little nervous on that.
Byron
one.
Is calculated at 14.2. He's probably going to get more than that from
no,
another team.
I think that's about right. Okay. I'd guess maybe 14. All so right.
On a good, five-year deal?
Yeah, five for 70. Good luck in Philly.
Amari Cooper is at 19.7.
Nope.
Yeah, that just seems like a lot.
I trade him.
And that's the thing, is I'm pretty sure, isn't it behind only, I believe it will only be behind Michael Thomas. That would make him the second best wide receiver in the league, or the second highest paid wide receiver in the league. And here is the problem. And I know people will say, yeah, well, the salary cap continues to go up and blah, 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 blah. And that's great. In 3 years, that might look like a steal for Amari Cooper. But right now, he wants the second most money in the NFL. He's not the second best wide receiver. There's no way in hell he's the second best wide receiver. He's a fringe top 10 who wants the second most money. That's bad business.
Just because of the market. You know, and essentially, Dak is at $33 million is what his estimated calculated value is.
That would be a steal at this point. If we find out that he signed for an annual value of $33 million, I'll be like, wow, we got $3 million off per year
so
on the deal.
The Cowboys love doing long-term deals, all right? The eight-year extension for Tyron Smith was their Cowboy for Life thing, right? They had 2 years left on his rookie deal, and they were like, let's go ahead and do this now. And with Tony Romo, they wanted a long-term deal with him. Here is what Jason Lock-on-Fora suggests for Dak Prescott's contract. 18 to 24 months is not what Jerry wants to deal with. 10 years, $350 million, including $125 million signing bonus and $143 million paid out. Dak can't walk away from that, right? Like, if that offer is thrown down.
I definitely think he could walk away from that.
Yeah, I'd walk away from that.
Really? $350, that's $165 million essentially.
Yeah, I'll sign a
guaranteed.
Let me sign a 4-year contract at $35 per year, guaranteeing me $100 million. I'm going to bet, and I know he's not going to take that either. He'd want more guaranteed, but I'll bet 4 years from now I will get another 4 to 5 year contract with another $100 million guaranteed. So I would be looking in that contract going, I'll do a 10-year, $350 million deal. I need you to guarantee me $225 million of it.
Wow. $165 million isn't enough.
No. And that's the other thing is this is probably going to be the case either way. So it's not just Lock-on-Fora's deal that I don't like. This is going to be the case either way. If you give him a long-term
and by the way, this idea is not his. It's an agent that he was talking to that was
gotcha,
like, you
got to gotcha.
Think creatively outside of the box for this deal.
In this instance, whatever you do, if you give him a long-term deal, your opportunity to rebuild if he's not the guy is over. You know, and like, look at that, for example. What did you say? 160-something million essentially guaranteed?
Within the first 3 years of the contract.
Okay, so let's even say if you expanded that out to 5 years, you're on the hook for him guaranteed $32 to $33 million per year. You cannot rebuild. with that. And so that's why I still remain having an issue with this. You couldn't win with him at $2 million, but you're going to now win with him at $35 million.
Here's the structure that's suggested in the first 5 years. $4 million, $6 million, $8 million, $10 million, $12 million for his base salary.
Okay, so that's $40 million over 5 years.
Yeah.
What did you say the signing bonus was?
The signing bonus, $125 million, I believe.
All right, so there is the issue with that. So you have to spread the signing bonus out over the first 5 years. So now you're talking about 5 years, $165 million. All right, so even though the base salaries seem low, realistically it's $33 million per year. And I go back to the same thing time and time again. It has nothing to do with Dak the player. I think Dak is a really good quarterback, but unless you're a transcendent quarterback, I don't, which he is not as of yet, I don't understand how the team thinks they can win paying him $33 to $35 million when they couldn't win when they paid him $2 million. That is a fundamental thing I don't understand.
If they just keep it, it was all the coach.
Let's hope so.
And I guess that's what they're trying to hope right now.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mavericks are 3/4 of the way through the season. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. What do they still need to fix? We'll discuss next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, and Mike Bacsik. 3/4 of the way through the season for the Mavs. What is left to fix? And we are here at Rangers Spring Training, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. We'll have Todd Frazier hopping on with us in just a little bit. And it looked like Fluffy, the bomb-sniffing dog, came through again.
Different dog, though, I think.
Oh,
I don't think that's
a different dog?
Wait, is that the same? It's not the same handler.
That's Vivian. That's not Fluffy.
Oh. Yeah, Vivian.
That
different
one
dog.
Is Vivian. So okay. And Vivian loves Kevin.
I'm not supposed to pet the dog, so I'm
Vivian,
not.
What a good girl.
Okay. There we go.
I mean, I don't know what to do. The dog is so adorable, but I don't want to mess up its mission.
You just want a hug.
Did the dog like that baboom joke?
If Vivian sits down, is that mean something's like Fluffy? If Fluffy sat down. Same thing, okay.
All right, I just want to, for the record, anybody who saw on the webcam, it looked like I hated dogs, but they specifically say don't pet the dog. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So the dog, like, jumped up on my lap, and I was like, I don't want to mess it up or anything
it
like that.
It looked like she thought that your chest was a bomb.
Vivian loved you.
My chest
she did
is
love
the bomb.
You. Yeah, there you go. 877-881-1053. What is left for the Dallas Mavericks to fix, gentlemen?
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and guess what Bacsik is gonna say. Figure out a way not to crap their pants in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's part of it.
So I think it's basically, I feel like we're in the same scenario that we were at the All-Star break. Is clutch free throws in general, and then the last 5 minutes of the game. I feel like little to no progress, and maybe even in some points some regression has been made in those areas.
The number one thing coming out of the All-Star break was, could Luka and Porzingis do what they did against Sacramento in the one game that they got to play after Luka came off the ankle injury? And they have. They've accomplished that. Every game Luka and Porzingis have played together in the second half so far after the All-Star break, they have been awesome together. We should get to see them together tonight against Zion and New Orleans. So that's a big positive so far for after the All-Star break. But to Kevin's point, one of the things that maybe to get a little bit more specific is, man, we also are a really bad defensive team down the stretch, too. I don't know. Yeah. Not that we're a great defensive team during the first 3.5 quarters of the game. But, man, we turn into a really bad defensive team. And I do like Dorian Finney-Smith. I think that he's improved tremendously this year. What's interesting to me with Dorian Finney-Smith is he's one of our best defenders, or at least considered one of our best defenders. But usually in the last 3 minutes of the game, he really struggles to take on another team's good player one-on-one. And I get it. Luka gets his points late in the game. Porzingis has been recently getting his points. It's tough to shut down good players in the last 5 minutes. But it seems like our two best defenders on the team out there are Tim Hardaway Jr. and Dorian Finney-Smith, and they don't do a very good job late in the game. I don't know why they struggle. I get why they struggle offensively. They're limited at certain things. I don't know why those two guys that are considered our better defensive players also struggle defensively late in games.
Physically, I don't think Finney-Smith can hold up against a guy like Kawhi. I think he's light, and Kawhi has all sorts of moves, but I think that's one of the problems there is I think he's a lightweight kind of guy. And I just think honestly, less defense down the stretch. They need to play more better offense.
I mean, Well, first of all, I don't think those two things have to be exclusive. I think you can still try to play better offense and better defense.
They suck at defense, so just be better at offense.
The concerning thing for me, whether it's what Corey said about the physicality of it or just the thing that you were talking about, Bassick, with those two is that does not strike me as something that you're like, all right, we've got 18 games or whatever it is left.
Can't fix it.
We can get it fixed.
Right.
Like that's not something.
It's more of an offseason thing,
which
right?
probably speaks to your point about how you do not envision, regardless of the matchup, them winning in the first round of the playoffs.
I don't. The only one that I can see them possibly winning is against the Houston Rockets. And I know it kind of messed us up because we were going to talk about them early on in the show, and they ended up losing recently to the New York Knicks. They got out-rebounded by 31 rebounds in that game. They were a negative 31.
Who needs a player taller than
6'6"? So it was the first time that it really hurt them in the second half. Besides that, they've won every game. I'm interested if we were to face the Houston Rockets, who are putting up a good enough record where they might move all the way to the 3 seed by the time we get to the end of the season. If the Mavs were the 6 seed, that could be your matchup. And I would still pick Houston in that series before it started. But if you can figure out small ball, there's nothing Houston can do. Houston can't change the way they play. They've decided we're going to go super small, and if a team is going to crush us on offensive rebounds where we stop them, but it doesn't matter we stopped them because they're going to get to keep getting possessions until we take the ball out of the basket, then they could be in big trouble. James Harden is a guy who at times can fall under the pressure of the playoffs and not play nearly to the standards that he plays in the regular season. So that's one of the matchups that I would be intrigued with. Anybody else, I think that the Mavericks will lose in the first round. I'm just hoping that it's very competitive, and if they make it to a 7th game, that would be awesome. But because of the issues in the fourth quarter, because of we can't make free throws when they really matter, when like you need these to stay in the game or close out a game, and we fail almost every time in that aspect, I find it very tough in the playoffs. I wanted to bring up this, though, what I want to see now coming up here shortly.
I just wanted to bring up that you're a hater.
Sorry.
Shippy's upset.
I love this team. I love the Dallas Mavericks, and I think they're building towards a championship team. It's just going to take some time. This isn't the right team yet. They have good pieces, and they can keep some of these pieces around, Luka and Porzingis, but not all of them, and that's where I want to go here. And I'm going to sound like a hater on this one.
God.
Delon Wright has proven to me.
I knew you were going to say that name.
Through the Jalen Brunson injury. You are not the guy. I know that you don't like your role on this team. I know that your brother hates your role on this team. You had your opportunity. When Jalen got hurt in that game the first 10 seconds, you've had 3 games, and I believe it's been like 3 points, 2 points, no points. So you're proving to me, DeLon is proving to me, this doesn't help his trade value at all.
To be fair, when he got no points, he only had 27 minutes of time.
Yeah. 27 minutes, 4 assists, 3 turnovers, 0 points. And I know that's just one game, but if you look at him, he's so inconsistent because it might be tonight. Because Jalen Brunson, I believe, is still out tonight. I might say all these things, and DeLon Wright might go out there and get you 12 points and 5 assists and 3 rebounds and a steal or something like that, where you're like, what are you talking about, Bassick? And I'll be like, okay. Pay attention and watch the next 5 games, and he probably won't repeat that thing at all. He'll randomly throw in a good game that makes you think he can be a really true contributing player, and that's why the Toronto Raptors are like, no, trade him. We want Mark Gasol. And it wasn't that he got Mark Gasol. They traded a lot. But, yeah, we don't care. You want him? Fine, take him. Then Memphis got him, and he's putting up triple-doubles late in the year. And at 26 years old, Memphis is rebuilding. They're like, yeah, we don't want the 26-year-old putting up triple-doubles. We don't think he's very good. And so the Mavericks get him, and they're like, we can get what Memphis was getting somewhat out of him late in the year when they were tanking. We can get that from him. And they are like, we started him early, we couldn't get it out of starting, we moved him to the bench, we can't get it out of the bench. So to me, one of the things that I want to see in the last approximately 15 games is I want to see Jalen Brunson take over as the major backup point guard. And if that means DeLon Wright has to watch basketball games the rest of the season, I'm okay with that because I don't think he can really contribute.
Looking at our predictions, Kevin, Mike said 50 wins for this team. Do you still think to get the 8 seed? So you think that that can happen?
They're on pace for just about that.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I thought I predicted 44.
You did 45. 45 and 37. Okay. Kevin said 42 and 40. I said 44 and 38.
I do think they'll win 49.
I think they'll get over 45. I think they have a great chance to get 50. I just wonder in the last couple weeks of the season, it just matters how Luka's ankle's doing and how every other part of his body's doing. Does it matter to them? Because I think they're going to be the 6 or 7 seed. I just think that that's where they're headed, 6 or 7. Does it matter to them, 6 or 7? The Lakers are going to be 1.
I just want to avoid the Clippers. That would be the one matchup
I don't want.
It's tough,
though, because Denver and the Clippers are so close, and Houston has played such a great second half that you really don't know who's going to be 2, 3, or 4 in the seeding. So it's tough near the end to be like, we want to be the 6 seed, and then all of a sudden the Clippers drop to 3, and you're like, well, that was the team we were trying to avoid, and we worked our butt off, and we ended up getting the team we didn't want to play.
Now, Corey.
There's a question, Kevin, I wanted to get to real quickly. Two of our best defensive players, Colley Stein and MKG, why aren't they playing more?
MKG's worthless.
Okay, and Colley Stein has been out because there was a death in his family. But MKG, and we said this going in, he's really bad offensively. That hinders the ability, how much you can actually put him on the court.
So far, and it might not be his fault totally, because it's tough coming to a team midway through a season when you're very limited offensively. But if you've been watching the Maverick games, every time he comes in, the other team will go on a 12-2 run, an 8-0 run. And it's not quick. They don't hit us in 1 minute scoring 8 points because Kid Gilchrist brings something to the defensive side. But he is so limited offensively that we can't score. When he comes on the court, if you go look at his plus minuses, I guarantee you there are some bad minuses in very limited minutes so far with Kid Gilchrist on the Mavericks, because when he comes in, he is so bad offensively that the other team knows that we're pretty much have 5 defenders for 4 players.
Yep.
And so then we have to call a timeout, and it doesn't help. Kid Gilchrist usually has come into the game when Luke is getting a little bit of a rest. So that doesn't help his plus minus either, that the guy who maybe could give him some easy buckets isn't in the game. But we literally are going, oh my God, Kid Gilchrist, get him out as fast as we can because he's so limited offensively and he doesn't probably know the system great. So maybe he'll sign back here on a very small 1-year contract, and having an offseason in Rick Carlisle's system and knowing what they want out of him will be better for him. But I can't see Michael Kidd Gilchrist at all helping out this Dallas Maverick team this season.
So as long as we're talking basketball, I have the happiest story you'll hear all day. You ready?
Okay.
I'm not kidding either. Josh Spidell. So when Josh Spidell.
Cousin of Rydell, helmet maker.
Yes,
and stuff.
He's got lots of money.
Okay.
So when he was a senior in high school, he was averaging 28 points per game. All right, so like that's pretty darn good.
That's very good.
Then he got in a car accident, and the doctors told his parents would probably be in a vegetative state for the rest of his life. He ended up being in a coma for 5 weeks, and the doctor said he'll probably always need round-the-clock treatment and attention because he suffered a traumatic brain injury.
And when was this?
This was about 5 years ago.
Wow.
So he had already committed to play basketball at the University of Vermont.
Okay.
So the University of Vermont, even though like he would clearly never play basketball again, he would clearly never be able to have a normal life again, et cetera, they're like, we're going to honor your scholarship. We're gonna bring you up here. And then they put him on the team. So he's been there for every practice, every day, everything like that. Yesterday was senior night. And they started their game against Albany, gave Albany the basket, and then they put Spidell into the game.
Okay.
And he drove his way to the basket, got passes from all of his teammates, and scored a basket to make it 2-2. And Spidel, after the game, and the coach for Albany said, "It's the first time in my career I've been excited about an opponent scoring a basket on us," which is amazing. But then this was the quote from Spidel that I thought was amazing. He said, "I didn't get to experience my senior night in high school. I didn't get to walk out with my parents," because he was in a coma.
Mm.
And now last night, he goes out for Vermont, who's like legitimately trying to make the NCAA tournament, scores 2 points. So, yeah, Josh Spidel, your legitimate happiest story you will hear today.
Do you want to hear the call, Kevin, real quick, and the crowd and all that stuff? I got it right here.
Yes.
Everybody gets a touch, and here's Josh Spidel.
So he's shaking everybody's hands right now, opponents and his teammates.
And he eventually hugged every single one of his teammates and every single one of the opposing teammates. You kind of don't want him to stop. If you get the chance, Shippy, maybe we can tweet that video out from your account or the KNC account.
Yeah, I actually tweeted it out last night and tagged him in it with just like a hell yeah and little fist bump. It's
super awesome. So Josh Spidel doing good things, making the world a happier place. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Surprise for Rangers spring training. Coming up next, Gridiron Gravy. Is Leonard Fournette now the saddest man in the NFL?
Why?
We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Spring training coverage brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. We are live from Surprise, where the Rangers today will be taking on the Rockies of Colorado. And maybe, just maybe, Nolan Arenado will be traded to the Rangers in the middle of this game.
What is Colorado Rockies?
But probably not. Kevin, I'm going to get to Gridiron Gravy in just a minute.
Okay.
But my, how the mighty have fallen, Mike, as the news about Italy and the coronavirus is breaking right now. They have closed all of their universities and schools.
Italy, whoa. Texas?
No, the country of Italy. As more than 2,500 people have contracted coronavirus and 79 are currently dead because of it.
Oh, God.
So they have closed all their schools and universities, and they are saying, do not kiss, hug, or handshake anybody. So,
even your spouse?
Yeah. So there you go. Quarantine yourself and stop spreading this virus.
When you get married, what if you travel to Hawaii for your honeymoon and they immediately put down in Hawaii, do not touch anybody, including your spouse?
Oh, wow.
We're both getting coronavirus.
That would be your first time, right?
Yes. Definitely, because I've never been married.
Right, yeah.
And I adopted a child, let's just say. That's exactly like me.
How did you know how to adopt a child that would look like you?
That's really, and talks like me? I don't know.
All right, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
And we start with these jokers off air are going through a multi-round mock draft with me.
It'll be happening tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to
break it down. Dane Brugler is the man, and we break down Dane's stuff.
All right, so I'll hate it less than usual because I like Dane Brugler, but I hate mock drafts. So there's word going around, and you just said that Tua was falling. So there's word that a source with the Detroit Lions told the Sporting News that there was, quote, no chance in hell.
Oh, that's like wrestling.
That's right. That the Lions would take Tua. And to hammer home the point, he repeated, no chance. So if you're looking for Tua T to go to the Lions at number 3, they say, not going to happen. Does that mean a trade couldn't happen? Of course not, but just don't look for that specifically to happen.
I was watching this morning one of those shows. I can't remember which one. I was flipping channels, getting ready to come out here to the ballpark, and they were saying it was, once again, the Redskins kind of rumor is they're seriously looking at Tua T as the second pick. I think they're doing that intentionally to throw that out to the media to see if they can get a big haul from teams that are drafting like the Miami Dolphins at 5, the Chargers at 6, the Panthers at 7, who could possibly be looking for their future quarterback. That they're like, oh, yeah, you think that he's going to fall to you at 5, 6, or 7? And if we have the report from Detroit, there's no way we're taking him. And then you don't think the Giants are going to take a quarterback. Then you might sit there at 5 and go, we don't need to do anything. And then you hear, oh, no, what if the Redskins really are going to do this? Should we just trade with them to get what we think is a franchise quarterback?
Multiple questions coming in, Kevin, from the 210, other places as well. Where does Kevin have Tua in his mock draft? Do you have...
Nowhere. He'll get drafted where he gets drafted. Well, you know what? I will say this. If you want to put a mock draft out like a week before, that's fine. Yeah. None of this stuff's going to happen.
Well, and Dane even puts, because Autoflex Leasing fan text, he has right now, Dane Brugler has Tua T going number 6 overall to the Los Angeles Chargers. And he does say he's the wild card of the draft. And he says right now, talking to teams, he's pretty much saying until he throws on April 9th, it's anyone's guess on how high he will be drafted.
Top three. That's what I'll say. The Jags agreed to trade A.J. Bouye to the Broncos.
This is interesting.
Now, it's for 2020 fourth-round pick. Now, there's a couple of things happening there, but the thing that I really wanted to discuss is how sad Leonard Fournette is because of this. He posted on Instagram. He might have even started an Instagram page just to post this. It's a guy sitting all by himself on a bench at the park. Because because all of his people have left, and he's like, I'm still here, and we never won anything. And you look back at that defense they had, and you're like, I can see why they made it so far. But
yeah, that defense fell apart very fast. This development here is fascinating to me. I don't know if they have a clue what they're doing in Jacksonville, man.
Here's what I will tell you along these lines. Remember, now is the best time to get players. Players are worth nothing going into the draft. It's all about those draft picks. So if you see a veteran that you want to make a move for, now's the time to make that trade.
Aaron Donald.
Okay. Well, probably not him, but would you give up 2 firsts for him right now?
Yes.
3?
Yes.
Wow. How many? What is that, the max?
How many do you have?
6.
All right. Deal.
You trade 6 first-round picks for Aaron Donald?
Yes.
So you think Aaron Donald makes us the champions?
Yep. Forever, for the next 6 years.
Wow. Oh, okay. Now let's get to one of the other more tiresome stories in sports, and I have an exciting angle to this in just a second. But Tom Brady, where is Tom Brady going to go? First, the stupid part. The Patriots or the Titans, a new source says, although the 49ers are closing hard on the outside.
Gross.
But you know who's really going to break this story? And it's going to happen today. It's going to be Dana White. So basically, the UFC has a pay-per-view on Saturday that nobody really cares about. But Dana White has been doing all these live streams on his Instagram with different celebrities to talk about the UFC and stuff. So he's going to have your boy Marky Mark on. He had him on yesterday. He's going to have Raiders running back Josh Jacobs on Friday. But today, he's going to have Tom Brady. And he's already said he's going to ask Tom Brady about going to play for the Raiders. Do you believe that Dana White will break the news about Tom Brady and where he goes?
I have some good vibrations about this.
Oh, my God.
That was yesterday.
I don't think so. I think he'll ask the question. I think Tom will skirt the question just like he does most things. But I'm fascinated by that video of him and Julian Edelman.
That's a funky bunch.
Like, that whole thing right there is really fascinating to me. He's coming back. And there's the question of, did he say he's not or he's got it? I just don't know.
Yeah,
man.
I think they were saying they thought he said he's got it.
All right.
So
that's not a Marky Mark song.
What other song do you know besides Good Vibration?
I don't.
Exactly.
There was one other one that he remade, but I'm drawing a blank on it.
Walk on the Wild Side?
Yeah, there it is. Yep.
Oh, okay. Let's throw this out there. Kids at Princeton are not as smart as you might think. So Marshawn Lynch is...
I know, Jason Garrett.
Oh, my dude. Dang, man. So Marshawn Lynch is going to speak at Princeton. And the Princeton people are up in arms. They are furious about this.
He went to Cal. That's like one of the smartest schools on the West Coast.
But they're not mad that it's Marshawn Lynch speaking.
Oh.
They're mad that they didn't get a say in the process. They're like, this is stupid. We don't want Marshawn Lynch. What's your problem with Marshawn Lynch? Oh, yeah, no, we're fine with that. But we demand more say. But oh, you're okay with the person we picked? Yeah, no, he's fine.
But we just wanted to be able to pick him.
Yeah.
Which they wanted Garrett.
Super. No, nobody want. They wanted Dean Cain.
I guarantee you Princeton wants Garrett.
They wanted Dean Cain to speak.
I would love, I would absolutely love to hear Marshawn Lynch speak.
I would love to hear Laramie Tunsil speak because he says he just fired his agent and wants, quote, at least $19 million per year in his new contract.
What?
$19 million per year. So,
how much do you think that he lose out on because of that video that released?
Probably about $10 million.
Really? Okay, that makes sense then. Trying to regain some of the money he lost for something bad that happened.
Now, in other contract news, the Vikings are exploring giving an extension to Kirk Cousins. It is remarkable how quickly. Or how over time thoughts changed about that contract. 3 years, $84 million, dumbest thing ever. Dumbest thing ever. Fully guaranteed. And now they're like, yeah, we're going to extend this contract because you finally started to play good in the last half of the last year. But it changes quickly in the NFL. Now, I'm going to read this headline, but I hate the way it's written. This is a bad headline. Report, future Hall of Famer Frank Gore contemplating retirement. It should say... Frank Gore contemplating retirement.
Dude, why do you got to go after Frank Gore like that? That's a great headline.
He has no place in the Hall of Fame.
He is going to be a
Hall
of Famer.
Leave Frank alone.
Yeah, man. Why do you got to hate on Frank?
Seriously.
All right,
better than Emmett.
What the hell did you say?
I was piling on.
Oh, my God. I was like,
hey,
what?
Nice work, Bastic. You're fitting right in, dude.
Looks like we're going to have another segment. But let's go to Dave Gettleman. Dave Gettleman is one of my new favorite people in sports. A reporter asked him, quote, do you envision this team should contend for a playoff spot in 2020? His answer is amazing. Dave Gettleman said, I'm not even going there. Not even going there. Because I'm not. How's that? I've done studies. I don't have to answer every question you ask. All right.
Oh, so, wow.
So there's so many things happening
yeah.
there. First of all, he answers the question like four different times when the reporter doesn't say anything. Next, you think he's saying, I'm not going to go there because I don't want to get into it. And then he said he did a study, and you think the study would be about their playoff probabilities. But in actuality, he said he read a study about if you have to answer questions. That's what he read the study about. Do you have to answer media questions?
You don't have to.
That's what he determined.
You just got to be there. I love it.
So, yes.
But that's unprofessional in Kevin's eyes.
Yes. They will not let him speak at Princeton. Hey, look, if Marshawn Lynch gave an amazing rambling answer about why he's not going to answer your question instead of I'm just here to get paid, then I'm here for that all day because that's a soundbite, and it became a totally different story. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to investigate in the break what that giant boom noise was out here at the ballpark.
It scared me, honestly. I was like, wait.
We all got scared.
Yeah, if you watch the webcam on 105.3thefan.com, you could see.
Brought to you by Twin Peaks.
Yes, good job. You could see all of us jump because there was almost sounded like an explosion out here.
And all the security guards over there, just they didn't even budge. They're just like, got a meeting.
They're pros. Yep. Coming up next. What is your pressing Rangers question of spring training? We've been doing this at the noon o'clock every day. Now is your opportunity. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.